Morning, everybody. I'm over here, in case you didn't know. We're switching things up a little bit today. If this is your first time, then you won't know any difference. But if this is not your first time, we're reorienting the room and reorienting the service as a whole this morning. And you'll soon come to find out why. But before we do that, my name is Jeremy. By the way, I'm the pastor here. And I'm thankful to be here this morning. I want to describe something to you and see who in the room knows what I'm talking about. In my bedroom growing up, on my nightstand, I had this box. And this box stood about this tall and about this wide. And it had something on the left and something on the right that was a box about the same size. And each one of those boxes had a mesh screen in front of it. And on the middle box, there was a button that you could push. And a little thing with six holes about this size would come out, and you would take these shiny little discs called CDs, and you would take the CDs and you would put them in the little tray, and then you would hit rotate, and then it would rotate, and then you would put more in there, and then you'd hit the eject button, and it would put it back in. And then you could listen to 6 times 12-ish number of songs, and that was your limit. Sometimes those CDs would be scratched on the bottom. I tried the banana trick. It didn't work. Don't try. It's like you rub a banana on the bottom of the CD and it's supposed to make it better. It didn't work, so don't. Not that anybody even has CDs anymore. Sometimes if you hit that CD in there, it would skip. And if you kind of tapped the top of the stereo, then it would kind of like jerk back and it would keep going. Other times it would just keep playing like that one lyric over and over and over and over again. That was 20 years ago. Today, that was called a boombox, by the way. Anybody, raise your hand if you had a boombox growing up. Solid. Raise your hand if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Bold move. Bold move. They're on Kid Town, that's right. Today, we have this little thing. And this little thing, anywhere in the world, I can have all the music of the cosmos at my fingertips. This, maybe not for all of us, but many of us would say this is better than the boombox. It is a technological advance from the boombox. It is truer and better at getting music to our ears that we enjoy than the boombox could. What we're doing right now in this series in the book of Hebrews that we started a couple of weeks ago is week after week after week reminding ourselves that Jesus is better. That there have been advances along the way, but ultimately, after Jesus, there is no more advance needed. He is the one to whom all things have pointed. He is the one who holds the very world together. He is the one who planted eternity in our heart, like Dave preached last week. The words greater and more and better happen over and over and over again in the book of Hebrews. Over 25 times they occur. And just like this phone is truer and better than the boombox, so Jesus is truer and better. Every week, we're going to look at some unique way that Jesus is better. And this week, coming out of Hebrews 3, we meet Jesus, the true and better high priest. Jesus is the one who has made the only sacrifice necessary to make you right with God. It's good news. But we're going to do things a little bit different today. Normally, I talk at you for 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how things are going. And today, that time is going to be much shorter. What's going to be longer is we're going to spend more time in prayer, more time in scripture reading, more time in contemplation, and more time in song. And the goal is to experience our way into Hebrews. Hebrews is a thick book. And so not only do we apprehend the Lord with our minds, we also apprehend him with our hearts. And so there's multiple ways that he gives us to engage, and we're going to do some more of those today. So a couple of words of introduction, and then I'm going to hand it over to the prayer team who's going to carry us through. Let me go ahead and read. This is Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 12. It will also be on the screen up here, and then we'll keep going. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house, for Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by somebody, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are God's house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray with their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray to him. Lord, we're not enough. And yet, there's something in us that needs to be enough. And that something in us that needs to be enough is a holy longing from you. But it's a holy longing that we can't fulfill on our own. Lord, we long to justify ourselves. We long to be okay, to know that we're okay to ourselves, to know that we're okay with other people, to know that we're okay with you. And Lord, you have given us the way to know that we're okay in nothing that we have done and in everything that our Savior has done. And so we bless you, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would be present in these words over the next few minutes and over the remainder of our time together as we sing, as we meditate, as we write, as we pray, as we cry, as we rejoice, whatever you may call us to do. Lord, would we do it with a heart open and surrendered to you. We pray in your name. Amen. Okay, so 2 points very quickly. Number one, self-justification. There are these ways that we self-justify ourselves with this holy longing inside of us to be okay with God. Second point, Jesus' justification. There's a true and better way to know that we're okay. So first, a little bit of context. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of mostly Jewish Christians who are being tempted to sway back into Judaism. Persecution and comfort are making the Christian life harder and harder and harder. And so they're being tempted to kind of like go back into the cultural flow. And Hebrews, the entirety of Hebrews, is essentially a sermon. And it's a sermon saying it's not enough. You're missing the point if you're swaying back into the Old Testament law. If you're swaying back into the temple sacrifices, if you're swaying back into trying to be good enough for God on your own, that's never been the point. That actually wasn't even the point of the Old Testament, as we'll come to see. So the first thing that it does is the writer of Hebrews calls us to Moses. The story of Moses is all the way back in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And it calls us back to this time when God's people were enslaved in Egypt. You may know the story. God's people are enslaved in Egypt. God raises up a man named Moses to save them. Moses goes to Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. There's a back and forth. There's 10 plagues. Some things happen. And then eventually Pharaoh lets them go. They get out of there as quick as they can. The Pharaoh's army comes right on their heels, is chasing them down. They hit the Red Sea. The sea parts, they go through, crashes back down on Pharaoh's army afterwards, and they're free. That's the whole first few chapters of Exodus. Then, where they find themselves is maybe not where they expected to find themselves. Where they find themselves is in the wilderness. They find themselves wandering. They find themselves hungry and thirsty and confused because if God saved us, then why don't I feel better? If God saved us, then why isn't our life easier? That'll preach. If God saved you, why isn't your life easier? You ever think that? Like, if God is for me, if God is with me, then why does most of my life seem like he's nowhere to be found? Like, he's not helpful even a little bit. Do you ever think that? Do you ever wonder that? That's what's happening in the book of Hebrews. They're wondering, is God even with us anymore? I got to go back to the things that I'm comfortable with. Because this whole new way of following Jesus, of a spirit who prompts me to live in new ways every day, who's renewing me from the inside, it was a lot easier when I just have some boxes to check and check them off. When life gets hard, it's very easy to blame God because we have expectations that are already set up for him to do. And God, if I'm doing my part, you better do yours. And if I'm alone, then I got to force it through. Because if you're not with me, then all I got is these two hands. And I got to push my way through to the life that I want. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, be careful. Verse 12, take care, brothers and sisters, lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. What is the evil, unbelieving heart that the writer of Hebrews is warning them about? It's not that they're being so bad. It's not that their lives are ultimate train wrecks. It's actually that they're just trusting in the wrong thing. They're trying to self-justify. The word justification just means I'm trying to show some action that's going to make me right with God, or to make me right in general. And so I may look to my good works. I may look to try harder at work or in parenting or in friendship. I may clean up my language. I may go on a run every now and again. I may stop drinking. I may eat a little cleaner. I may go to church. I may attend a small group. I may start tithing. I may read the Bible. Man, go me. Now, because I've done all that, God, pay up. Like I've done for you, now you do for me. Take care. It's not admirable to just keep striving and trying harder to check all the boxes for Jesus. The writer of Hebrews actually says that's evil. It's evil to be good with the wrong motives. Because God does not see the outside. He calls out the Pharisees for being whitewashed tombs because they're dead on the inside. You may look however you look on the outside as squeaky and shiny clean. You may have a budget that's always put together and kids that always have matching clothes. And yet on the inside, your heart is rotting because it's all in your own hands. Where's God? I don't know. I'm just forcing it through. I'm just doing my best out here. Take care, brothers and sisters. Because the point of our doing for God has never, ever, this isn't like a New Testament revelation. It's never been the point. How do I know? Point number two, almost there. Jesus' justification. Jesus in verse 2 is called the high priest, the better high priest than the one that Moses gave us. What is that talking about? Well, there's a very similar circumstance that's happening in the book of Galatians as well. The book of Galatians is also a group of mostly Jewish Christians who are swaying back into Judaism because some people have come into town and said, you got to follow all the Old Testament law and follow Jesus, and that's how you really know that you're in. And to them, and to us, in this context, he says this question. Which came first? Bible trivia time. Sword drill. Which came first? God moving towards people in relationship or God giving the law? Which came first? God moves towards Adam and Eve as early as Genesis 2.
Then they blow it in the beginning of Genesis 3, and guess what he does? He moves towards them again. And then a little bit later in Genesis 12 and 15 and 17, God moves towards again a man named Abraham, and promises Abraham that he is going to bless his lineage for the foreseeable future into eternity. And then a little bit later, he moves towards Moses. But that movement has always been about relationship first. So which came first? God moves towards his people in relationship and then gives them the law. Why? To show them a couple of things. One, we are accountable for the things that we do. There is a standard that God holds us to, and yes, we are accountable for that standard. And number two, it's meant to point us to the salvation that's only found in God himself to provide. And then the flourishing life that comes out of that. That's the point of the law. Always. The Ten Commandments, the sacrificial system, the cleanliness laws, all of those things has always been pointing to Jesus. And so Jesus is the great high priest because all the way through, God has always been the one to provide the sacrifice. God is the one who provided the sacrifice for Adam in his shame, covering him with an animal skin. God is the one who moved towards Abraham when he was about to sacrifice his son and instead provided a ram in a thicket as a substitute instead. And in the Exodus, as the angel of death is flying over, he provides a spotless lamb to be slain for the blood to be put over the doorpost so that the angel of death, when he passed over, would not slay the firstborn son. And he is the provision of every bull and every goat in the sacrificial system that the holy high priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies and sacrifice both for his own sin and the sins of the people. It's all been pointing to Jesus, the covering for Adam's shame. Jesus is the ram in the thicket to save Abraham's children. Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. And Jesus is the priest who enters into the Holy of Holies to atone not for his own sin, but for ours. And so what we're going to try to do is over the remainder of this service to take verse 12 to heart. Take care, lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart. In each of us, there is an evil, unbelieving heart. Whether you are a follower of Jesus or not, each of us have an evil, unbelieving heart, at least in part, that is swaying us away from God and his provision for us, and swaying us towards what we can do with our own hands. And today, through the remainder of this service, he's asking you to put it down. He's asking you to put down the striving. He's asking you to put down the efforts. He's asking you to put down the hoping in yourself to save yourself, to put down the grumbling, to put down the cynicism, to put down the I'm alone and I'm bitter about it. God, where are you? But not to put it down like it doesn't exist, but to just be real about it. To say, this is actually where I am today. And let him love you right there. Because the point has never been about the technology by which we are made right with God. Just like the boombox or the Spotify app is never the point. The point is the music. Do you hear the music of the love of the Father singing over you this morning? That's what we're trying to do for the remainder of this service, to hear his song of provision over you. So I'm going to invite up the prayer team, and they're going to walk us through some scripture and some song to continue to invite us into deeper relationship and deeper surrender with him.